Well, an evening of music. I thought it would be appropriate if I said a few thoughts or shared a few thoughts from God's Word about music tonight and save my comments to Jim for a few minutes after I say these things from the Word. All right, Jim? Would you open your Bible with me, please, to Colossians chapter 3, where Paul talks about music. Colossians chapter 3. I want to thank Ernie and the choir and orchestra and all who've had a part in tonight's program. It's been enjoyable and inspiring, and we appreciate it. And Jim, you had a lot to do with that too, because you taught them most of those songs, didn't you? Thanks. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you for the joy and blessing of music. We thank you for the way it inspires us and challenges us, allows a vehicle for expression of our praise and adoration to you. We thank you, Father, that we can worship your majesty in song. Lord, not all of us can sing well, but we thank you that you've put a new song in our hearts, even praise unto our God. And I pray that you will help us to express that in a way that honors you. Teach us from your word tonight, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Music has power. Nations have been molded by music. Armies have been spurred on to victory by music. Lives have been profoundly impacted by music, sometimes positively and sometimes, unfortunately, negatively by the world. Churches have sometimes flourished and sometimes floundered on the basis of their music. Martin Luther used to say, "You can preach the sermon, but let me write the hymn," because he knew the power of music. One of the most helpful passages of Scripture on the subject of music in the local church is Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Just one verse. There's a command in the verse, and it's followed by three participles that describe what happens when we obey the command. And altogether, it teaches us a great deal about the place of music in the church and what it is to accomplish. The command, and then what happens when we obey the command. Let's call it the source and the flow. The source is a command. It says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." That's where it all begins. That's where good music begins. The verse is about music, and yet it begins by saying, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." See, by feeding the word of Christ into our souls and letting it settle down and be at home in our lives, and that's what this word means, this word dwell, to settle down and be at home, then music begins to flow from us. But it has to begin there, you see. The word is not to be a stranger to us. It's to settle down and be at home, to enjoy a comfortable at-homeness within our lives. It's to have access to every nook and cranny of our lives. It's to govern our thoughts and our words and our actions and mold our goals and our motives. Let the word of Christ settle down and be at home in your life. Richly, it says. Not a tiny bit here and a tiny bit there. A little dab here and a little dab there. But generously and liberally and fully and completely and wonderfully. Don't snack on the word, in other words, Paul is saying. Devour it, soak it up, drink it in. Let it affect your entire being. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You know, it's interesting, but what follows this is also found over in Ephesians chapter 5. The same ideas in these participles, teaching, admonishing, singing, and so on. But over in Ephesians 5, they follow another command. This one says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." That one says, "Be filled with the Spirit." And what that teaches us is there's a very close connection between being filled with the Spirit and letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly. That's one means to the Spirit's filling. Letting the word of Jesus Christ fill and saturate our lives. And that's where we have to start. We can only sing when we have something to sing about. And the song that comes out will depend on what's going on within. So let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, because that's where good music begins. That's the source. Now I want you to look at the flow, please. Now, not everything in the verse is about music. There are three things that are going to happen when we let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. For one thing, it says, in all wisdom, teaching one another. Teaching one another. When we get excited about God's word and its application to our lives, we want to share it with other people. We want to tell them about it as well. It isn't that we're going to just dump on them, you know, everything that we've been learning. It isn't that we're going to preach at them, I hope. But we do want to instruct them in an encouraging way. We want them to experience the joy and the satisfaction that we've experienced by letting the word of Christ dwell in us. And we not only want to teach them, but we want to admonish them, it says. That flows out of letting the word of Christ dwell in us. It means to warn, maybe even to plead. We don't just give them dry, dusty instruction. We let them know we care about them. That's what admonish involves. We'll let them know that their relationship with the Lord is important to us, whoever they are who we're sharing with. You see, there's heart in our instruction, Paul says, when the word of Christ is really filling our lives. And both our teaching and our admonishment are done with wisdom, the wisdom of God's word. Teaching, admonishing, but that brings us to this third thing I really want to talk about. The third thing is going to flow out when the word of Christ dwells in richly. Singing, teaching and admonishing, and the third participle in the verse is singing. I like the way the NIV translates it. It says, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to the Lord. It makes more sense if you put the psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with singing than with teaching and admonishing. You know, I've read that verse for years, and it just didn't seem to make sense. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs is what the King James says. And psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs do teach and admonish. But I don't think that's really what the verse says. I think the psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs goes with the singing. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, and the result's going to be teaching and admonishing in all wisdom and singing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs with grace in your heart to the Lord. Singing will be the normal outflow of a life that's filled with God's word. I've sometimes heard churches referred to as singing churches. I like that. I don't know whether Emmanuel Faith has that reputation or not. I haven't heard people say that very often about us, but you know, I'd like Emmanuel Faith to be known by that as a singing church. I mean everybody, not just the choir and orchestra. Boy, they sing and play so beautifully for us. But it would be good if we were all known as singing people, because according to this verse, singing may be a barometer of our spiritual condition. When the word of Christ is taking root in our lives and settling down at home in our lives, we're going to want to sing about it. It's going to want to flow out from us. Paul mentions three kinds of songs here. First is psalms, scripture set to music, particularly the Old Testament psalms. As you well know, there are lots of anthems and many modern choruses that are purely psalms set to music. That ought to be a part of the musical diet of a local church, and it has been in ours. Hymns is the second category. A hymn is a song of praise to God, praise to Christ. Its concepts are biblical, even though it may not use the exact words of Scripture as the psalms do. But the important thing is that it exalts the Lord. It ascribes glory to Him. That's what a hymn is. It's sung in worship and adoration and praise to the Lord. There's some great hymns of glory to God written through the centuries. And some being written today, like the one we just heard, Majesty, Worship His Majesty. And they likewise should be a part of our spiritual diet, our musical spiritual fare in the local church. The last category is spiritual songs. Paul really had a well-developed theology of music in the church. He tells us all about it. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Now that is not to imply that psalms and hymns are not spiritual. This is a general word for song. Could be a song about anything. But for believers, people who know the Lord, in whom the word of Christ is dwelling richly, we want to sing about spiritual things. So Paul says, spiritual songs. That can include many other kinds of music other than the psalms and the hymns. Could involve gospel songs, choruses, gospel hymns of various kinds. They may be more personal and subjective, more about our experience with the Lord than about the Lord Himself. They may teach us spiritual truths. They may comfort. They may encourage. They may exhort. But they too have a place in the music of the church. We all have our preferences. Sometimes we have a tendency to get critical of those whose preferences differ from ours, don't we? You know what? I got to thinking about that, and it occurred to me that might be an indication that the Word of Christ is not dwelling in us richly. When we get critical because somebody else's tastes in music, which may be being ministered to at that moment, are different from our tastes. And maybe we need an attitude adjustment when we have that kind of a spirit. That's where the last phrase in this verse comes in, I think. With grace in your hearts to the Lord. That word grace could mean a couple things. It could mean thanksgiving. Some translations render it that way. That would be a good thing to do. Sing with thanksgiving to the Lord. When the word of Christ is dwelling in us richly, when it's really at home in our lives, then our thanksgiving to God just flows out. We want to sing thanksgiving to God. But the word can also simply mean a friendly disposition from which kindly acts proceed, just a graciousness and a loving kindness and a goodwill. The word grace means that many times in the scripture. See, when the grace of God has touched our lives and the word of God is dwelling richly in us, then we have a great deal more graciousness and tolerance toward people who disagree with us in different things. Even the tastes they have in music. We sing to the Lord. It says that right there. Singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. We sing to the Lord, but we sing with grace in our hearts. Grace. A graciousness. That's what happens when the word of Christ dwells in us richly. And if we sit there kind of grumpily and with an irritated spirit because the kind of music we're singing isn't our style, maybe we are not letting the Word of Christ dwell within us richly. Maybe the grace of God needs more expression in our lives. It's a great verse, packed with spiritual truth. So let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Music has power, but the most powerful music flows from a heart that's filled with the Lord Jesus and His Word. So let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, and we will be a singing people, people who love to let it flow out because that's what's inside of us, the precious Word of Jesus Christ. Let's bow together and pray. Lord, thank you for enjoying good singing tonight. Thank you for ministering to us in song. Thank you for the privilege we've had of praising you and honoring you. And I pray that we may heed the exhortation of your word. And let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, so that from within us will flow praise and honor and blessing and joy to you, our great God and Savior. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.